You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. We've been teaching a series on finances, what the Bible says about finances, for several weeks now. We'll probably go a couple more weeks at least on this subject. And the reason I say that, you know, we do series in the church. We'll do series on Sundays. We'll do series on Wednesdays, different series Wednesdays than we do Sundays. And so we cover these subjects. People ask many times, well, does your church believe in prosperity? Yes, we do, without a question. We also believe in salvation. We also believe in healing. We also believe in forgiveness. We also believe in holy living. We actually believe a lot of things in the Bible. Are you with me? And if you come enough, you'll hear these subjects. But if you come like in the middle of one series, it would be unfair to walk out and say, well, that's all they teach down there because you only came in one series. We don't teach everything we believe in one service. Maybe other churches do, but we don't. We usually just teach on a subject, and we figure if we have one point and you can get it, that's good enough. I've been in services where they had 7 points, 8 points, 10 points, 15 points, and that's all wonderful, but I'm just a one-point message preacher, and at least I have a point, you know. Some preachers don't have a point, but anyway, I try to, in this financial series, just, you know, cover a subject each week that the Bible talks about. Now, normally when you think about the Bible or church and finances, you think of tithes and offerings. And true, the Bible does teach that, talks about that. But it has a lot to say about other things, which we've covered already here, you know, in these services. Budgeting and savings, we talked about that and what the Bible says about that. Wisdom in finances. I mean, come on, wisdom is how we prosper. Yeah. God's not about just giving you a bunch of money so you can get out of the mess you're in. He wants to give you wisdom for you to get out of the mess you're in. He wants to help you get back on your feet and quit getting in that mess. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Even if we got a fix here and we got out of the mess, we just get right back in it because we're not handling our finances right and we're not using wisdom with our finances. And I think it's amazing that we often look at the Jewish nation, you know, as a prosperous nation, and bank, they own the banks, they own the country, and you know, all the conspiracy theorists, you know, would tell you that the Jews run our country, they run the world, and so on. But there's this mentality that Jews just prosper everywhere they go. And there is some truth to that. But do you ever stop and think why? They're obeying the principles of the Bible. They're following the Word of God. And if you follow the Word of God, you will prosper. Doesn't mean you'll be a billionaire or a millionaire, but you should, if you're in a mess, you should get out of the mess you're in and should maintain a level of prosperity. You know, I was in India preaching years ago in India, and, you know, their pastors there, getting a bicycle would be prosperity. Well, that's good. Let's get a bicycle, then believe God for a motorcycle. Wherever you are, you can prosper.
That's right. That's right.
Got three people agree with that. The rest of you still thinking about that. So it's a goal to reach for here. It's not condemnation. If you're in financial duress or stress, or you know you're under the gun financially or in debt, well, hey, don't be condemned. Let's just ask God to give us wisdom and get out of this mess. And God forbid we just, you know, get a fix here and repeat the same thing over and over and over. You know, to be in debt's not a good thing. Now, there are times to borrow, and I understand that. We borrowed when we built this building, but you know what? We got this building paid off, and we've reached a point we're just not going to do it again. We're going to stay out of debt in our church bill. We've got a nice building. We've got land. We're building and paying cash. There's no reason for us as the church to go in debt. Right. But now, if you're talking about renting as opposed to paying a payment, that makes sense. You need to. I think it's wisdom to borrow money to buy a house, pay payments, as opposed to renting. Are you with me? If you're renting, you're trying to get on your feet. Nothing wrong with renting. We've all been there and had to do that. Maybe you've moved from one city to the next, or maybe you're just starting out. Hey, that's wonderful. But have a goal to go from renting to buying a house.
Yeah.
And then have a goal to get that house paid off.
Right. That's right.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Brent and I just got our house paid off. We're excited about it. I mean, it's exciting. And you know what? We applied some biblical principles to that. We started paying extra on it and believing God and confessing over it, and we got it paid off early. Just like we did the loans here in the church, did the same thing. So it's not a sin to borrow. Don't get the idea that we're saying that. We often get that from Deuteronomy 28:12, where it says, "Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." But that's not a command. That is a blessing.
Amen.
That's not a command, "Thou shalt not borrow." That is the blessing, "Thou shalt lend, and thou shalt not borrow."
Yeah.
See a difference? There's a difference in the commands, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, when he says thou shalt lend and not borrow, meaning you're prosperous and God wants us to place where we're actually able to help others and bless others and not have to go borrow money ourselves. That's really the place to get in. Now, if you're borrow money on your house, you're like most people. Goodness, that's the way to do it. You borrow money, you buy a house. But let's believe God to get that thing paid off. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Well, so we have more to give. Hello. Have I got the wrong crowd here or the right crowd?
No.
Okay. I know this is not, you know, we're not running the pews and jumping and shouting on this one. Talking about borrowing and co-signing. Woo! Hallelujah. But did you know that the Bible talks about that? And that should be the basis of all that we preach and minister, really, is what the Bible teaches. And so, God forbid, we just skip over that when there's so much in the Bible concerning that. Budgeting and savings, we talked about already. In fact, God revealed to Joseph the interpretation of a dream that he gave to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And he gave him a 14-year budgeting and savings plan that saved Egypt and saved the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, there's no other way to interpret that. I mean, you just break it down. Practically, that's what happened. God gave Joseph a plan to set back a fifth of all that came in each year of the good 7 years that were coming upon the land of Egypt so that they would have to feed off of and to sell during the 7 years of famine that was coming after the 7 years of plenty. Now, if they did not foresee that and they did not budget and set back during those good times, they would have been wiped out during the bad times. That's just called budgeting. And that was supernatural, and God revealed that to Joseph. That's wild. See, often we forget the ant. You know, the Bible says it real sweetly. I love the Bible. It's just, you know, it's so sweet. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's what it says. It gathers his meat in the, you know, in the summer so he can have in the winter. Sometimes we just need to wake up. Amen. Hey, there's always hard times come. Hard times come. Winter's coming. You know, there's repairs that have to be, done on your building, on your house, on your car. Are you with me? If you say, well, I've just got plenty of money, everything's doing fine, you need to set back money for those kinds of things because that just happens. That's part of life. Yeah. Ooh, man, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost all over me, aren't you? Man, this is anointed. Okay. Borrowing. And I know I have a trouble with that word. I'm from East Texas and it doesn't come out right, but you understand what I'm saying. Borrowing. Not a sin. And I'll tell you why it's not a sin. Here's a perfect example, Deuteronomy the 15th chapter. Deuteronomy 15, verse 6 says, "For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you." But notice the next verse. "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs." Now here, he wasn't talking about just giving. He was talking about lending the money to them if they need it and they'll pay you back. Now, under the old covenant, Jews lend money to Jews with no interest. Now, you could lend money to a heathen outside of the church and charge interest or usury. It's in the Bible. Okay, it's in there. But you didn't do that with your brother. You didn't do that with your Jewish brethren. You'd lend the money and they would pay it back. I mean, that's what he wasn't saying here, just give it. Although, of course, New Covenant talks about just giving to him that needs. I think that's interesting. But the point I want to make here is he just got saying the blessing was to lend and we shall not borrow. But then he turned right around and says, lend to your brethren or brethren. Now, wouldn't it be strange for borrowing money to be a sin and God telling you to put somebody in sin? That doesn't make any sense, does it? If he tells you to lend to someone who has a need, then obviously borrowing is not a sin. It's just not the best. It's not God's blessing. The blessing of the Lord is to lend and not borrow. But it's not a sin to borrow. Okay, y'all getting this? Or else, why would God say, tell you to go put somebody in sin? He said, if your poor brother needs something, lend it to him. Don't harden your heart, is what he's saying here. Don't harden your heart and hold back. In fact, he says in the 9th verse, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying the 7th year, the year of release." They had a year of release that all debts were released every 7th year. "Lest you say in your heart, the 7th year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brethren, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become a sin among you. That's interesting. Don't harden your heart and not lend help people. So God's out of compassion saying we should help those that need help, and in this case, actually lend to them if they need help. So borrowing in itself couldn't be a sin, or he wouldn't be telling you to do it. But borrowing is not the greatest thing in the world if you've ever been in debt. Anyone ever been in debt? Okay, well, so I don't have to explain that to you. In debt, really, if you look up the definition, is just to be encumbered, to be up against it, to be, what? In hoc is another definition. To be in bare situations, to be in servitude. And that's really what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says to be the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, when you think of that, is true, because when I borrow money from someone, I'm obligated to serve them, to pay them something every month. And so until I get that paid off, I am in service to that person. I've signed a contract. I've said I will, you know, pay so much money per month, some of my time. He owns it. They own that time. They own that payment each month. And you sign that contract, listen, you need to pay that bill. You know, as Christians, we don't need to be filing bankruptcy. Stay with me. I don't think that's the will of God for you. I don't think it's a big sin, but you gave your word. I've been there. In fact, there's one time in my life, I was 4 months behind on my payment. They were going to repossess my home. It was in foreclosure. I was dealing with a bank, and the banker even told me to walk on it. The banker said, you know what, the best thing for you, Mr. Williams, I think you ought to walk on this. I said, you're the banker. You're telling me that? I want to pay this off. I gave you my word on this. I put my word. I was working two jobs trying to get, we were, you know, feeding five kids, and man, they eat a lot of food. Church is going through a struggle. We had some tough years in this church. Listen, we're a prosperous church, and we're doing great, but it hasn't always been this way, okay? There have been times we struggled in our church. We paid late payments on this building. It's embarrassing to do that because the finances were so low. But you know what? We kept paying them, and we stood in there, and I would not walk. And finally, that bank made a deal with me to continue the process. And you know what? I'm standing here now. It's paid for. Amen. I kept my word. I did what I said I would do. You know, and that should mean something. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's always going to just fall on your lap. Sometimes you got to pay a big price. Maybe you need to get another job. I hate that. But if you give your word on something as a Christian, you ought to do your best to make that thing count. Now, you're not some great sinner if you filed bankruptcy. Don't take this message that way. You know, I wrote some stats down here I thought were amazing. From July the 1st of 2009 to June the 30th of this year, 1.5 million people filed bankruptcy in this country. 1.5 million. That's up 20% from the year before. So this is an issue. Are you with me? I mean, it does happen. And we of all people as Christians ought to be believing God to prosper us. We're not one of those statistics, as it were. It's another interesting statistic is credit card. In 2009, 270 million people owned a Visa card. 203 million owned a MasterCard. And there's a lot of other cards. So that's 473 million credit cards. Listen, that's more people than we got in the United States. Are you with me? So that means people got two or three cards, you know, and that's what it's saying. There's over a billion Visa cards owned in the world. Those are credit cards now. I mean, as far as debit cards, there's a lot of those too. There's 382 million Visa debit cards, 125 million Master debit cards. That's not counting the credit card. Debit cards, of course, make a lot of sense. I mean, it comes right out of your account, and there's no, you know, there's no debt there. It's debited out. So that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of debt in our country. We live in a society that you base everything on debt. Oh, I own this and I own that. And you really don't. The bank owns it. Look at my new this. Look at my new that. It's not yours. It's owned by the credit card company or the bank or whatever. And it's really a bad way to base our prosperity. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I know we live in a system that we're kind of locked into to some degree, especially if you're young. I mean, you got to get started and you got to do something. You don't want to pay rent, so you buy a house, but you don't want to get so big a house you can't pay the payment on it.
That's true.
And don't want to forget that you want to get that thing paid off. And the object is not to get it paid off so you could go borrow some more money and get a bigger house. At some point, you want to get out of debt. I know this is crazy thinking, but it's biblical thinking. I tell you, it's where we are in this church. It's where this church has been since 1997. We made a decision in 1997, you know, that we're going to not borrow any more money. That's it. We're done. We got the building paid for, and we're not going to borrow any more money. And since then, we've obtained 42 acres, paid cash. Built that warehouse behind us that we had the food ministry in, paid cash. Got all these new chairs in here, never took a special offering. Just paid that out of the V money, dollar money that we do every week. Paid cash. Poured, I don't know how much concrete we poured out, probably $100,000 worth of concrete, wouldn't you think, Glenn? I mean, all this concrete that we poured, paid cash. Poured a slab out here, it was very expensive, put up the metal building. We're not through, but you know what you're looking at there is paid for. It's paid for. So the idea that, well, you just can't prosper, you can't have anything, you're not going to do anything, Pastor, if you don't borrow money. Oh, I'm sorry, it's too late. We already proved you can't.
Yeah, amen.
Are you with me? And it is a wonderful place to be. Because when we've had some attacks, especially, you know, a couple of years ago, finances were a little tight and so on and so forth, it didn't really affect us because we were out of debt. We just kept going, and we kept giving our, and we've given $100,000 to missions every year. Wow. But if we had bills, we wouldn't be able to do that. Because we have to pay you have to pay those bills. So what he's saying here, no, it's not a sin, no, of course not. But it's not the best. And I know most of us probably owe money on a house, car, whatever the case may be. But let's believe God to get it paid off. You know, you ought to start believing God for ways to get a car without borrowing money. What? Maybe pay yourself a payment for a while, for a few years, and let it build up. Wouldn't that be nice just to walk in and pay cash for a car? Maybe not get a brand new car. Maybe get one, 2 or 3 years old. Oh, God forbid, I got to get the newest one.
You're right.
Hello. See, it's a mentality. It's something we think. We have to do it this way, and there's no other way out of it. We're bombarded with it on the TV, every commercial that comes on, selling houses, cars, whatever the case may be. It's just debt, 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 and we'll lend you the money. We won't even check your credit. Come on down here, we'll fix your credit. Well, you know, it's just borrow, 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 borrow. And we got to break out of that cycle and believe God to get ourselves out of debt. I believe we can do it. I know we can do it. I've seen the church do it. I've seen it in our lives, and many others could testify to the same thing. Praise God. God's will is very simple. Turn to Romans 13. Is this helping you?
Yes, amen.
I know this doesn't always sound real spiritual, but nonetheless, it is the Bible. You know, I like to ask questions like, what is spiritual? What is being spiritual? Well, praying in tongues all day long, that'd be spiritual. Hello? Well, that would be spiritual, I guess. Praying would be spiritual. The gifts of the Spirit is a spiritual thing to do. How about just living holy? Wouldn't that be spiritual? That'd be good. What about doing what God says to do with our money? See, a lot of times when something's real practical, we kind of relegate it over there to the natural, and we want to do something spiritual. You know, we'll flow in the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe in flowing the Holy Ghost, don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes we belittle and demean these things that the Bible tells us to do as if they were unspiritual or something. And Pastor, why don't you teach on something like forgiveness or something, or... Well, I could do that. That wouldn't make you any more happy either, really. But or teach on... Hello? Teach on prayer. Teach on healing. Well, we do teach on those things, no question. But you know what? The Bible addresses this too. And I believe we need it, or He wouldn't have said so much about it in the Bible. Romans 13 is a good place to look. I love these scriptures here. In fact, it starts out in that fifth verse. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Romans 13, verse 5. And he's talking about subjecting ourselves to the powers that be and obeying laws and rules and so on and so forth. And that's good. Everywhere you go, there's going to be rules and laws. Sixth verse says, for because of this, you also pay taxes. Did you know the Bible tells you to pay your taxes? Wow, I didn't even get one amen on that one. But it says, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. The government in and of itself is good. We need government. Government can be bad, and it can do things it's not supposed to do, and it can get involved in areas it shouldn't be involved in. But we need good government. Every country needs government. Every home needs government. Are you with me? Government's a good thing. And so in that sense, you know, it takes money to support the government. It comes from taxes. It comes from us. That's how we maintain a good military. That's how we maintain roads and cities. And, you know, some things you must have. And so I know the taxes are going to a lot of other things that I'm very upset about, and you may be too. But the system of paying taxes, biblically speaking, they paid them back there in Jesus' day. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yep.
So he says, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 8th verse, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Love that. There's a debt I'll never, ever pay off. It's the debt of love. But you know, God does want me to get out of debt in all the other areas. One debt I'll always owe is the debt of love. But I should get to the point where I owe no man nothing but to love him.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's New Testament saying we ought to get out of debt. We really ought to believe God to get out of debt. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, I quoted it. It says, you shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Woo, hallelujah. So where are you? That's a good question. You know, most of us probably are in debt. Well, we ought to pay our bills. We ought to believe God to get them paid off. Maybe pay them off early. You know what we did with this V money? It was just a Holy Ghost thing, really. Since 1988, we've been doing V money, the dollar money that you see laid down here on the altar. We took that money and saved it up for a month. And then when we paid our payment on the building, whatever money was saved up in V money, we threw extra on top of the payment. And that money went straight on the principal. And we did that every month. We did that for a few years. And we paid off one loan. We paid off two loans. And we're getting ready to pay off the third loan. Early, several years early. We paid off both those loans early. And the third one we're going to pay off several years early also. Saved thousands of dollars in interest. Thousands of dollars in interest. Now that's good stewardship. That's what that is. But you know, we had a goal to get out of debt. We were trying to get out of debt. And we were working on it. I mean, you may do that. We did that with our house. We put extra money every month with our payment on our house month by month, and it began to just take that principal down, and we paid it off early and saved tons of money on interest on our house. Of course, you know the story, 1997, whenever we had, in August of 1997, we had Dr. Jerry Savelle come and minister our 15-year anniversary. And we owed $18,500 on our note, the last big note. We had three notes. We named them the Lion, the Bear, and Goliath. We killed the lion. We slew the bear. And then we went after Goliath, which was the big one. And so in August of 1997, we had Brother Jerry Savelle. He got up. He ministered and so on and so forth. We owed $18,500. At the end of his message, he got up and said that the Lord spoke to him to pay off our building. Wow. Wow is right. He wrote a check for $18,500 and paid off our building. I've been trying to get him back every month since, you know, just keep coming. Never had anybody come speak and pay off your building. I haven't even heard of that. You know, but it was something that was in his heart to do, and he'd done it once before. He'd come here. He says he was so excited when he walked in here, the Lord spoke to him, I want you to pay off this building. Oh, man. I love it when the Holy Spirit talks like that. But see, that's practical stuff, though. That was supernatural. I mean, come on, how can you not say that's supernatural? I never heard of anybody doing that. An evangelist come in and paid off a building? We're supposed to give him an offering. That's supernatural. But what was the application? How did it come down? It was very practical. Paid off a loan. And got us out of debt. And I believe at that point, really, you know, if that's what God wanted to do, we need to honor that and not go back in debt. And it would have been real tempting. I mean, it would have been tempting to borrow all the money, just finish off the gymnasium, borrow all the money, to buy all the land. But, you know, we believe, God, we're going to pay cash, we're going to pay cash, we're going to pay cash. And we keep giving to our missions every year. And we're centering in on missions, not borrowing money. We're centering in on our giving. Our giving's what it's all about. That causes us to have increase. It's the seed we plant that causes a harvest. This is like a farm, okay? We're not a bank. This is a farm. God's laws are not laws of mathematics. They're agricultural laws. And so if you want to be blessed, then you need to plant some seed. So that's what we do every year. We give, and we start ministries, and we give to the poor, to food bank. Hallelujah night. Are you with me? And it's amazing. God just keeps blessing us in supernatural ways like that. I mean, here we're going to buy this land. This is what's fascinating about the land deal. We had the money to buy the land. What year was that? Anybody remember the year we bought the land? Okay. All right. We had been saving money and setting it back, V money, and people had made a couple of donations. We never took a special offering. We didn't have a land fund, building fund, where we got up and took donations. We just decided we're going to pay cash. And so it came down to the land deal. It was really kind of an unusual deal. We had to buy the whole 103 acres and make sure we had the rest of it sold off. That's the only way we could do it. And so I dealt with somebody in particular that says, I'll buy off the rest of that land. The three people that owned this land back here were Yitzhak, Goldstein, and Ruler. They were Jews, three Jews. They were. And I went back and forth, wrote letters to them back and forth. This went on for years trying to work out a deal on this land. I was just going to get a few acres, you know, for the church because we needed it. I'd prophesy that land in and call it in and pray in tongues and say, I see that land coming in Jesus' name. We'd call that land. Remember we called that land in for years? You know that we did that in this pulpit. But we decided we're going to do it out of debt because borrowing wasn't God's best and we were out of debt and we're going to stay that way. And so this guy comes up, is Warren Elrod, who's gone on to be with the Lord, came up and said, I hear you talking about all that land. What's the deal? And I said, well, we're going to get this land behind us, but I got to get somebody to buy off the other land before we get it because we have to buy the whole 103. He says, well, go ahead and get it and I'll pay off the other land. Yeah. And I looked at him kind of funny. I said, you going to do what? And he says, I buy land all the time. You just go ahead and get the deal done and I'll buy the rest of the property. Yeah. I said, okay. So I called him up. We got all the letters. 27 pages of stuff we had to get a lawyer to look at. We were faxing pages back and forth the day we're closing the deal. This is an awesome story. I love this story. We're closing the deal the day. Y'all get it? The day we're closing the deal? Okay. I hadn't told Warren exactly what we're going to do. I just said something about, you know, we're going to get 25 or 30 acres. We have the money to buy 25 or 30 acres, and he was going to buy the rest. So the day, we're going to have to do all this the same day because, you know, obviously, we don't have the money to buy everything. You know, so he says, well, I'll just put all the money in the account, and then we'll pay it that day, and then we'll deed over the land, and I'll do it at one time. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I got that money. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. And so we did. No, really. We're signing the papers over. He calls me up, and he says, okay, here's the deal. How much land did your church want? I said, 25 or 30. As soon as we get this deal done, Warren, I'll call you and we'll talk about it. We got the money for 25 or 30. He says, well, no, I don't think you understand. He said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to buy all the other property and I'm going to write a check for all the church land too and pay it off.
Yay. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Wow. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Man, that was God. He says, now, do you want 25 or 30? I said, 30. And we had some designated money that some people had left the church years before and so on and so forth. We did have to go buy 10 more acres. So we wound up with 45 acres. But it was paid for. It paid cash on it. Now listen, we had the money to buy it. That wasn't I was not believing for that. That just God was blessing us because we were being good stewards. See, a lot of things we miss like that. We'll see a supernatural blessing. We'll forget. We don't see the details. We don't see how those people really did what they should do, and they worked, and they budgeted, and they did all those things. A lot of that goes on in our church behind the scenes. You hear about the victory. You hear about the supernatural provision, but you don't realize God's blessing us because we're doing the right thing. And that will happen in your life and individually, and many of you could testify to it too, that if you do everything you can do, God will do what you can't do. He'll do what you can't do. And that is just a supernatural testimony how our building got paid off. And so what happened, and our land gets paid for, and we wanted more land than we actually were going to get, and that's all, we're debt free. And so now we needed a warehouse, and you know what? We had the money to buy to build the warehouse that we hadn't planned on doing right away. We had cash to build the warehouse. And we were renting three storage rooms at that time to put all of our Hallelujah Night stuff in. There was nowhere to put it. We had so much stuff. We'd go over there with trailers and trucks the week of Hallelujah Night, load it all up. How many of y'all remember that? And haul it back out here and build all that, and then haul it back and put it back in those storerooms. Well, man, we built this warehouse and we quit that.
Amen.
But, you know, we leased that because there was just nowhere else to put it. And now we have our own warehouse. And you know what's happened now? Now it's become the food ministry.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to have to wind up building another building on that too. But, you know, hey, we'll pay cash on it.
Amen.
Mm. See, this works. And we're not talking about something theoretically. It's not something abstract. This is something 28 years in this church we have proven these principles. God wants you out of debt, and you can get out of debt. And you can prosper without borrowing. You can. But you've got to change your thinking. You've got to be wise and start using wisdom and budgeting and sitting back and saving. You know, the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Maybe you can't take it when you go, and the Bible says you brought nothing in this world, and sure, you can't take anything out, but you can leave something when you go. You can leave something to your children, to your grandchildren, and so on and so forth. And that is the wisdom of God. Hey, Proverbs 6, turn there. Glory. Man, I love those testimonies. You know, I tell those testimonies all over the world. You know, people all over the world know about Wills Point, Texas. And, you know, I talked about Warren Elrod. He didn't want anybody to know, you know, he was doing that. And, of course, small town, secret like that, everybody knew he did it, you know. But and of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Thank God he's in heaven. And he was here. Him and Cheryl came through at a time that it was just a God thing. Sent them here, blessed them to bless us, and you know, and God does that. He just does that. I mean, if you'll step out there on the water, he'll make sure it'll solidify when you get out there. But if you're not doing anything, there's nothing for God to bless. If you're not stretching and you're not believing and you're not reaching out, there's nothing for him to supernaturally intervene for. He gives seed to sowers. He doesn't wait. You know, he doesn't give you seed so you can sow. He gives seed as you're sowing. He gives to givers. He blesses blessers. And if we'll do everything we can, I believe we're responsible for stretching ourselves ministry-wise and blessing people and reaching out and doing the most we can do with what we have. If you're faithful in the little, he'll put you over the much. And right where you are right now, maybe it's getting out of debt. Maybe that's what you need to center in on. Maybe it's getting that house paid for. Get you a plan. Believe God to give you wisdom. Get that thing paid for. Get yourself out of debt. And get out of debt and stay out of debt.
Amen.
Woohoo! It's better preaching. Y'all are amen it.
Yay.
Hey, real quickly, just a few verses here to encourage you on co-signing. What the Bible says about that. Proverbs 6, notice what it says in the first verse. My son, if you become surety for your friend. Surety or guarantee is King James word, Old English word for just co-sign. It's what it is. You co-sign a note, you know. In other words, a person goes to a bank who loans money every day, who knows all the stats and all the figures and knows all the risk. A person goes to the bank and the bank says, no, I can't loan you the money. But if you'll go get so-and-so down here to sign this note, I'll loan you the money. Okay. Now let's think about this a minute. The bank who loans money every day, who knows who can pay and who can't pay, believes that this person is not going to be able to pay, and that's why they're not going to sign them up. But they tell this person, if they will go get another person who they think will pay, then we'll loan you the money. They're not loaning you the money. They're loaning that other person that's signing, co-signing the note. And hopefully, if you co-sign that note, that person pays. The sad truth is most co-signers don't pay. And you get stuck holding the bag. Co-signing is never a good deal. I think the only thing you could only way you can make sense is with your kids, you're trying to establish credit, and you're willing to pay the note. You're going to help them pay, get their credit established, get them a car, whatever the case may be, put their name on it, and you sign the note like that. That's your business. That's your family. That's your kids. Are you with me? But when someone asks you, I don't co-sign. Hey, don't ask me to co-sign a note, okay? Okay. I love you. If I have the money to help you, I'll help you, but I'm not going to co-sign a note. Because the bottom line is that they're loaning me the money, not you, yeah. If I'm co-signing. And if you're co-signing for someone, they're loaning you the money, not the person. Oh, in name, it has their name on it. They're responsible. But as soon as they miss a payment, you get the phone call.
Yeah.
Hello. If they default, you got to pay the note. That's just the way it works. That's called co-signing. And the Bible, it doesn't say much very well or good about co-signing. It doesn't encourage you to do it. In fact, it says here, my son, if you have become a surety or co-signer for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Good stuff, huh? So God doesn't. Now, borrowing, I understand that. Maybe not God's best. There are times you might borrow. But cosigning, he doesn't really say anything good about cosigning. In fact, look at the 11th proverb. Proverbs 11. I hope y'all are writing notes. This is good information. This will help you. You know, there's probably a lot of people in here have cosigned. Probably a lot of people have been burnt. You know, I've cosigned and had cosigned for me in earlier days, you know, and then realized that it's not a scriptural thing to do. It's not a wise thing to do. Proverbs 11, notice the 15th verse. He who is a surety or cosigner for a stranger will suffer. The one who hates being a cosigner is secure. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I would get from that, don't cosign.
Right.
Proverbs 17. A couple more verses, we'll wrap this up. We're talking about borrowing and cosigning. Proverbs 17. Wow, aren't you glad you have some scripture on this? Hey, you catching this? This is scripture. We've got God's word on these matters. I thought we had to go read financial books. Well, there's nothing wrong with financial books, but I can tell you this, whatever principles work in the financial world are biblical to start with. Why not go to the source and find out what God says? Then you're living your life God's way, not based on human formulas or human systems, but you're basing your life on God's word, and you can put faith behind that. And that'll keep you through the tough times too. You know, one thing, I'll tell you about borrowing money for one thing. It is a time for you as a Christian to shine if you have borrowed money, in the sense of paying your payments on time and keeping your word. Amen. Are you with me? It is a witness. I think it's interesting when it talks about elders and deacons and in the New Testament, 1 Timothy and Titus. It says they must have a good report of them that are without. Now, that's an interesting way to say it. What kind of dealings would I have with those that are outside the church? Most of it would be financial dealings. And so I should have a good report of those that are without financial dealings. I should be someone of integrity. I shouldn't be somebody that everybody in town knows that if I, you know, go borrow money, I'm not going to pay it. God forbid your pastor would just quote the word left and right, up one side and down the other, and preach like a machine, man, here, and then you couldn't trust him when I leave the pulpit. Got debts all over and don't ever pay off my bills and so on. That's not good. That's not good. You want a good report of those that are outside the church. And most of those dealings are financial dealings, whether you're buying, selling, or whether they're borrowing, or whatever the case may be. So if you have borrowed, you believe God to get that payment paid. If you can't pay that payment, you call that banker and you call that person and you explain your situation. You communicate with them. It's hard to eat crow. I know it is. It's embarrassing to do that. But you know, honesty is always the best policy. Being up front with people and telling them where you are. You have an obligation. Man, you can hear a pin drop. You have an obligation, if you borrow money, to pay that note. It's the right thing to do. Make sure you can afford it before you go buy it. Amen?
Amen.
And on co-signing, gracefully say no. Just say no. Say, I love you. I'll help you all I can. If I have anything to help you with, I will. If I'm able to help you, I will. But I'm not going to do that. Because in essence, you're going and borrowing money and giving it to them. Your name's on that note. I mean, you borrowed the money. And that banker really believes you'll pay it off and doesn't believe that person will. And there again, I said the conditions of if it's your children, sure, you're trying to help them, get them credit going, and you're going to take care of that, and you know that. I mean, you already know that going into it. Unless you don't care to borrow money and help someone, that's fine. If you know you can pay it off and you're going to do that, well, that's just know that going in. Amen? Because it says here in the 18th verse 17th chapter, a man devoid of understanding shakes hand in a pledge and becomes a surety for his friend. Mm-hmm. You're not helping them. You're not helping your best friend by doing that. More problems come and more schisms and splits and wedges get between relationships because of money than you can imagine. You know, I'd rather give it to somebody than loan it to them, because if they don't pay it back, it's going to be on my mind. They're going to be embarrassed to come see me and talk to me. Been there? Anybody been there?
Yeah.
Because of money. And it's just not what it's about. Okay, lastly, I'll get you out of this torturous sermon. Proverbs 22. Hey, all the counsel of God is not always sweet. It doesn't always come across like honey. But we need it nonetheless. Amen? Amen. I realize today we're eating spinach. But if you'll eat this spinach, it'll make you Popeye strong. It really, really will. This is not condemnation. Nobody's condemning anybody. You're not in sin if you're in these situations. You ought to look at this as light and revelation. Okay, I'm going to do my best to rectify this, to get this fixed. I'm going to try my best to, you know, get out of debt and pray over this co-signing deal if you're in that. God doesn't hate you. We don't hate you. He's just trying to help you. Anybody that's ever been in debt knows it's not good. Come on. I've been strapped with debt before. You know what? There's been things I couldn't do at times because I owed so much money. I wasn't able to. I had obligation. I had to pay this. And so it's just a lot better to be out of debt. I mean, this is a revelation. Out of debt's better than being in debt. Boy, you ought to write that down somewhere. Make that your goal. As a Christian, as a believer, with the Word of God, these Scriptures, start believing God. Ask for wisdom. Hey, God, give me wisdom. How can I get this paid off early? I don't want to just pay this thing out. I want to pay it off early, save all that interest, and have more money to give. Woohoo! You can do it. You absolutely can do it. Okay. Where did I tell you to turn to? Yeah, that's a good one. There's actually a couple of good verses in there. You know, I talked about borrowing. Look at the 7th verse. It says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower a servant to the lender. I quoted that. So a part of our life is in servitude until that debt is paid. Now on co-signing, he says this in the 26th verse, do not be one of those who shake hands in a pledge or one of those who is surety for debts. Co-signing for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. Don't go sign the note for someone. If you have the money to give to them, go ahead and do it if you want to. Or you want to loan it to them, that's fine. But if you don't have the money, don't sign the note for him, because you're going to wind up having to pay that note. Hey, practical wisdom. Amen? Amen. Financial, practical wisdom. You will prosper if you begin to take these categories of information and apply them to your life one by one by one. We talked about budgeting and saving. We talked about borrowing, co-signing. Of course, we talked about work. That's God's number one way to prosper you. And it's a blessing, not a curse. Amen. We've talked about wisdom, which all of this falls in that category of wisdom. I believe God wants to prosper us, but He wants to make us in such a way where we will prosper. In other words, God doesn't want to just get us out of debt. He wants us to keep us out of debt. God doesn't just want to heal us. He wants to walk in health. God doesn't just want to forgive us. He wants us to walk holy where we don't need the forgiveness.
Amen.
Yes. You know, I'd a whole lot rather go through the day not have to ask for forgiveness.
That's true.
I really would.
Yeah.
I know He'll forgive me. But I'd a whole lot rather, and I think He would too, rather be just not sin. That way I won't have to ask for forgiveness. And finances, well, yeah, He'll help us. He'll give us a miracle, no doubt. But you know what? He'd like us to get to the point where we don't need that miracle. and doing these things that keeps from needing that miracle.